here, and I'm grateful to be able to have my whole family here with my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
I've been praying for the ministers because they've been bringing the word upon the word.
Amen.
And I know it's much harder on them than it is on us, and we've been struggling. But you know what? The word brings us through. The marching orders, the things that the pastors had us read, it is literally an on-time thing. And I want to give flowers to each and every one of you for your testimonies that have brought me through in the ministry. And most of all, for the God that is within my husband and the headship and the abilities that he has had. Today's a very special day because not only can we be in the house of the Lord, but it's his birthday. And it's, you know, I see these people, y'all come in, and it's like it's my birthday on the day that we get to be in the house of the Lord. And, you know, I just wanted to love to hear him sing, and he's got this beautiful deep voice, and I wanted to sing a song that he's really good at, the Old Rugged Cross, because that is something that he just edifies that because he just keeps going, you know, just like the ministers, just like the brothers and the deacons, he just keeps going.
Amen.
So come up here, husband, my rock, literally my rock, the one that gives the love, mercy, and grace in my home. That guides me and corrects me when I'm wrong. I mean, the pastor and the ministers correct me too.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
I don't know what the lyrics are.
Right here. I got you. I got you.
Amen.
All right.
All right. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Suffering and shame, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged. And exchange it one day for a crown.
Two. That's good. That's all I remember.
And I want to say one last thing to the Locketts, who have also been a very big part, Brother Lockett and Sister Lockett. I know she's not out here, but they have been an inspiration to me in this word. And all things, and I appreciate our deacons and the Locketts.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good to be back.
Amen.
And Jim was talking back here about how the last thing we had to do, we said, I do. He took it from there.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, that old rugged cross is when he said, I do.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's when he said he'd take care of it
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Amen. I wanted to sing that one song that you were playing right before.
Coming to the house?
Yeah.
Coming to the house?
Yeah. No, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't see you. Go ahead.
he's a policeman.
Well, I'm going to just say yes. Something real quick. Just letting you guys know that I'm fulfilling when I say it. Well. I'm scotching my tires today.
Amen.
And Lord led me. I got a song on my heart.
That's all right. Right.
Sure.
Wait, but okay.
Amen.
This, you guys don't know this song. I'm going to sing it, but it's a real simple and easy song to learn. It's only got like two verses.
That's all right.
So it'll be real easy. But before I do, I just want to let you know that my testimony, that there's two things that I said that helps me Number one, at the beginning of the year, after missing New Year's, I said that, Lord willing, I'd be here at the end of the year.
Right.
So I'm letting you guys know that's what helped me to overcome.
Right.
The week, or I think last week when I apologized. Yeah. Because it was bothering me. It was really bothering me. And I was like, man, I can't face the body. I'll never show up. But I started thinking, well, you know what? I said, Lord willing, I would be here at the end of the year.
Amen.
So I used that to prop myself to get back in here one more time. And so, you know, if it didn't help anybody, it helped me. But Brother Jay said, you know, scotch your tires. Well, that's what I did. And there was another example of that, but for some reason I can't remember. So the Lord knows. But that was my second example. But anyways, I'm going to sing this song. This song was laid on my heart. And I normally don't sing very well. I sound like a frog, but God wants me to sing, so that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
It. So
amen.
Here goes.
It's all right.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy of our praise. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised.
Amen.
We give you all the honor. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the honor. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Beautiful. You have to learn that one.
Come into the house, 138.
Great. All right. We'll get you. Maybe.
I just want to thank God for being here.
You know, I appreciate everyone who came out to support me. I'm so thankful and so grateful. The Lord is blessed. And, you know, just keep my husband in your prayers. He's home. He's not feeling well. So just keep him in your prayers. And I just appreciate that, man. He's such a strong person in general, you know, in this revelation and in the natural. And just to see him down, and it breaks my heart. You know, I just love and appreciate him. And he's such a blessing to this body.
Amen.
That's right. 138. Come into this house for one purpose. Forget about yourself.
Amen.
What you did, what you didn't do. Concentrate on what he has done.
We are coming to this house.
We're gathered in his name.
Christ, our Lord, let is all my righteousness.
I stand complete in Him and worship Him. For He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. For He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ our Lord. Let us worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
And we have come.
Revelation to know,
yes,
that it's not me,
right?
It's all Him. It's easy to worship Him then.
Yes,
I'm not. It's not tainted with anything I've done, anything I should have done,
right?
Any failure, anything mankind has done. It's just simply Him.
It's Him.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm just so happy to be here right now. All the testimonies and just the preaching that we've been getting, it's just been so edifying to my life, to my well-being, everything. Everything. This takes care of your health. This takes care of your peace.
Amen.
This takes care of how you think about things. You really think. You get a Twix moment with this revelation. And it's just, it's blessed assurance.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's eternal security. I mean, I'm like Brother Lockett was asking, he said something that Brother John said. Well, I went back and I looked at it. And he said, it was God, it used to be knowledge. And He took what was up here and put it in here.
That's right.
And so I can't even tell when that happened. I just know it happened.
Right. Yeah.
I just know that I know, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I'm different.
And exactly. And I just wanted to sing a song too, because, you know, all these songs are coming across. And, you know, that grace and truth that was preached on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my goodness.
Full
of grace and truth. You can't just have grace. No. You can't just have truth. You know, because
right.
The truth, it'll hurt people.
Right.
But you got to have the grace and the truth.
Right.
You got to give them the truth and have grace and say, go as you are.
Right.
Don't
right.
worry
right.
about it. It's just too late of an hour for you to try to change anything, to try to live up to something. Just go as you are. But it's the love that we
right.
have for God.
Right.
It's the love that we have for His word. It's the respect for the birthright, you know. So I just want to give myself away right now and sing a song. If I ask for things
Amen.
That I should not ask for, if I pray for a thing selfishly, if I ask for myself and not for my neighbor take this veil from my eyes and let me see. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray, Jesus, may the same prayer be mine every day. When this robe of flesh that I wear steps, hold my hand all the way. When my pathway is dark and my heart gets so weary, if I seek for an easy my steps, hold my hand all the way. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, hopefully I hold it together. I always say one day I'll be able to hold it together up here. But I wanted to give extra prayers for my father, and I want to give him praise because Wednesday, we had an important appointment for myself and my illness, which was you put so much stock into like bigger companies, you know, like Ohio State, which we didn't get anywhere. It was really a waste of time. But I was telling Kevin on the way home, I was like, you know, I was talking about my dad because my dad's been going through a lot of medical procedures too. He's had like 3 surgeries on a hernia and stuff. And he called me when I got home and asked me how everything went, and of course we talked about it. And then we got off the phone and I was telling Kevin, you know, my dad, he's gone through a lot and he's such a strong man, you know. He's always had faith, he's always had God. That's what, like I said, God has always been in my life. I might not have had a word, but I always had God, you know.
Amen.
And my dad's a God-fearing man. He's just as strong as his faith as you or as Kevin. And sometimes it's hard for me, especially with 2 different, you know, religions, and I'm like, oh, Lord, you know. But, you know, I just keep my mouth shut when all that stuff happens because my dad is just as strong in his faith. When I say it, I mean it. But I was surprised because the next day he called me again, and he was like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm all right. And I said, Dad, you called the right person? Because, you know, I talked to you yesterday. This is what makes him such a strong man, and he's such a great dad, you know what I'm saying? He is. He was like, well, I had surgery yesterday. So he's having surgery when he's calling to find out how I'm doing.
Right.
He was still in the hospital. It was another hernia, the 4th one. You know, I feel like they're just not taking good care of him, but, you know. But my dad, he's always looks at it like, no, the doctors take really good care of me. You know, God has me. He never takes pain medicine. He's just, all I want to say is that I have a great father.
Amen.
I have a great boyfriend. I have a great pastor. So
Amen.
All the men in my life Even my oldest boy, he's such a strong man. I have such strong men around me. And if anybody knows where I get my strength from, even with me being sick, I try to put a smile on my face, try to go with it, try to keep. It's because of my father. And I just want to give him extra praise today and maybe say an extra prayer for him that he has good healing. And I thank the church for all my support here, because, like I said, I always cry when I get here. I can hold it together anywhere else in my life, but here you cannot hide from God, and I know that. So I just want to say thank you.
As the young people are sitting down, I just want to thank God, and I just want to say something that was on my heart this morning. I just want to come, and I just want to repent to the body. I want to do better, and I want to be better. Amen. You know, I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be more sincere. I want to be solid, you know, and it just was on my heart. It's kind of like restart, restore. And I just really, really, body, I just want to do better. Amen. And I'm asking you guys to forgive me.
Amen.
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 Yes.
We all want to do better.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's it. Amen. Do all we can. But the key is to keep him first, folks.
Amen.
Don't put nothing before him. Amen. You want favor with God? Praise him.
Amen.
And keep him first.
Amen.
You get what you want.
That's right. Amen.
Pretty simple.
I'll testify. Amen. I'm happy to be here one more time. You know, I've had Grandma and Grandpa on my mind lately because January 24th, he's already been gone a year. And I remember Grandma, when I went to see her in the hospital, you know, she woke up and said, you know what, Lord's taking care of me. And I love a testimony like that, you know. And I look at just how quick time goes by. It's like, this life is just a vapor.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to do something for God, I want to do it now. Because, and that's why I've been enjoying helping lead songs so much, because a lot of times I'd be playing bass, like trying to sing at the same time. It's not everybody can do that. So I'm like, I like to, you know, be able to play bass, be able to sing, and we're blessed. We got multiple piano players, guitar players. We can move around and worship freely and do whatever we need to do, you know. And I'm just thankful. I just, you know, I want to be open to whatever God wants, you know. If I end up actually leading songs sometime, I, you know, I'm open. So I'm helping lead, and I've been enjoying it, and I'm just thankful to be here.
Amen.
I just wanted to get up here real quick and just thank God, because, you know, yesterday AJ and I, we celebrated our first anniversary of being married, and I know it seems so small to you guys, 40 years, 50 years, you know, but, you know, we were just talking about how easy and quick it went by. And, you know, that's because of the word.
That's right.
Because, you know, early on, you know, there, it was, you know, like a little difficult at first. But, you know, then God, we came into service, you know, we, you know, we still talk about that quiet car ride. You know, and God, he corrected us right then and there. And after that, you know, it was so easy.
Amen.
Because headship is a beautiful thing. Yeah. It really is. And it's a beautiful thing to know that, you know, I have a husband who will always make sure that we're putting God first.
Amen.
And we'll always make sure that, you know, if there's something going on, if we're going through something, you know, like this pregnancy at the beginning, it was scary, but he put God on it. He put the word on it.
Amen.
And that took away your fears, you know, and he is such a strong man. He's gotten us through so much.
Beautiful.
And I just wanted to get up and thank God, because I know 1 year might feel small, but to me, it's just a big thing. And I'm just so thankful for this word, for the rest that it's given us, and the fact that God gave me that man.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Praise him, praise him.
Congratulations, 1 year done. I just want to thank God. You know, when you walk into this church, Brother Moore has always told us we set the atmosphere when we come in here.
Right.
He's manifested Christ,
that's
and
right.
I appreciate that, Brother Moore. You know, I miss Wednesday. And like Michelle, I can step it up, put God first. Brother Lockett, he's talking so much wisdom. But I did get to hear the service a couple times. And what I learned a lot is that a lot of times when we're going through our lives, you know, we are what we eat. You know, when you meditate on this word,
Amen.
It becomes one for you. And I knew that when Brother Isaiah got up and I kind of got, I'm in charge of, when he got up and testified this morning. And from the service, when happy birthday, Brother James, you know, this morning when I'm in charge of the scriptures for my Bible group this morning. So the morning, this scripture I put out this morning, and all I said to the group was, hey, it's a great day to reflect. We represent Christ to this world. Show grace and love. I also use the scripture, just says here, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And I say that to say I get that here. I can manifest Christ in my life because I get that here. When stuff comes or not doesn't come or happens or doesn't happen, you have a balance.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
word
amen.
Means everything
yeah.
to me.
Amen.
And I need to step it up. Brother Moore, you know, I talked about I'm so blessed in my job because I have people in my job and they're Christians and such. And, you know, you get to feed off that. But and you set an atmosphere even in your job. Something happened at work. And, you know, I have to humble my spirit. I have a new female boss, my manager of 28. I've been there 10 years. He was there 28. He left. We got a new lady. And it's been interesting, the dynamic that comes when you deal with that. And a lot of people are shaking their boots about this and that. But I thank God I don't have that fear.
Right.
I can use wisdom and balance and say, guys, we got to give her some chance to get her feet under her. She's new. We got to balance
sure.
this.
Amen.
And then when you make great. Those statements and they come and start messing with you, it makes you live like, okay, now, you said that, so keep your spirit right. I say that for a reason. I say that because I got to get my spirit right. And, you know,
Amen, Lord.
I'm 1 year married as well. And it was funny because Jeff came to me and he said, you know, our anniversary was like today. I'm like, what? God bless. I didn't know. I said, well, you know what? We can celebrate. Let's do it. You know, and I thank God because it's nice to have a man serve God with. God knows. And if I don't, I thank God that I can, like Brother Moore told me, you set the atmosphere in that house. You bring that spirit, and when stuff goes down and things, you know, anything, because it's nothing really, because I don't have a hard life. But I do know the word of God is true. When you preach that message, oh my gosh, recently it told me to step it up because I wasn't submitting enough. I wasn't. And I was like, you know, you can try, but are you really doing it? Right. You know, Brother Moore, he spoke a lot. He used to talk a lot about being be the show me state. You can talk a lot, but he watches what you do. Amen. And the word of God, no matter the real test, and you guys have heard it before, what you do when no one else is watching, that's really your testimony.
Amen. That's right.
She beat me to it. She's lucky I was in the back putting my stuff up. Now, 1 year feels like a big accomplishment to me. It really does. Because I take a look around at people I grew up with who got married to, and their marriages didn't even last a year, you know. And I had the chance to reconnect with one of my friends, actually, who got married, and then I think it may have been 6 months, and then he got divorced, and he's going through it right now. And as we were talking, I found out I just couldn't help myself. Drop promises that we've learned in here, you know, from the Bible in disguise. Amen. I don't always come out and say blah blah, but it's a promise of God. And when Kara talks about putting the word on our situations, that's all I'm doing is pulling from the promises of God. Every time I come in here, I bring my bag and I collect another one and I put it in and I wait for when I need it and I pull it out. And my favorite one that we learned a long time ago that I have used constantly and that I told my friend is about Abraham when he was going up to sacrifice Isaac and the ram in the bush, you know. So it's all it is just using those promises of God to get through day to day. You know, he'll always give you the promise that you need.
Amen. That is the one common thing that we've all got is the word of God.
That's right.
It's the one thing that'll bring you rest. You know, Brother Branham said that it brings an end to a struggling nature.
Yes, it does.
Right. And once that happens, the rest of it doesn't even matter. It's already been taken care of. What you do from there on out is you continue to surrender. Paul said you die daily. Yeah. You know, that's the bride's desire. She dies daily. There's never a point you're going to get to you in your life where you feel like, I'm where I need to be. No, I'm always, always give, always press, better. Surrender, yes. Give more. You always find room to improve. But I'm grateful, you know, that Brother Moore has always said this is the recipe right here. Get here. No matter what you're going through, no matter what happens in your life, get through the doors. Everything else will be all right. It'll take care of it. And I'm grateful for the Word of God. You know, the older I get, the more this journey travel along, I think, Lord, I'm so grateful to have the Word of God. So grateful to get here. I'm so grateful to have a place of worship. You know, you come in here, and I was listening to the songs today, and I thought, there nobody sounds better than we do. You know, there's nobody sounds. I don't care what you got, because the Bible says they worship me in vain. Do they worship me? No. You know, you may think they sound better to your natural ear, but it's just in vain. It doesn't mount at the end. God don't even hear it. He doesn't even accept it. But you come in here with your cracking voice and your whatever you've got, and it's music in his ears. He listens to you testify. He listens to your songs. He listens to your worship. And it's the greatest thing that he could ever hear on the face of the earth. There's nobody else that can worship God like I can worship God. Nobody else that can praise him like I can praise him. There's nobody else that can thank him like I can thank him. There's nobody else who can raise his hands that he even appreciates more than he appreciates what he gets right here. And you got that. They don't even have that. They're not even close. He doesn't even see it. When they stand before him, they said, we've done this in your name, and we've done that in your name. We've done all these things in your name. He said, I never even knew you. I never even knew you, workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. But when I talk, he knows me. It's a beautiful sound. You know, Donna, I was talking this morning. She's like a man and wife, you know, when they get married. And when she says, I do, he's already said, I did.
Right.
Because there's requirements for him before he even says, I do.
Amen.
Brother Moore won't even marry you. You got to have it. I mean, it's just simple things. I love this thing. It's just simple. You got to have a place to take her.
Yeah.
You got to be able to take care of her.
Right.
And I don't care what she comes with, what baggage she has.
Yeah.
When she says I do and that man says I do, he takes all that responsibility on himself. It's a commitment. Yeah. It's not just a bunch of words he throws out there. Yeah. There's a whole lot between. There's a whole lot that means when he says I do. Whole lot that goes along with it. I don't care if she came in a natural with $100,000 in debt, Don. Yeah. It doesn't even matter. When he says I do, he's taking that responsibility on himself, says I've got it taken care of.
Yeah.
Oh, my. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He had a requirement, an obligation. He said, don't even matter. I'll take care of your past, your present, your future sins. I've got it all covered. It doesn't matter. And I love it so much because, you know, I was thinking about the message from Wednesday, and I was teasing Donna this morning. I said, well, I've done a thorough study from Wednesday till now of the word all, or I mean full, rather, and it means full. That's exactly what it means. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't add to it. It denotes it's not even full. But I'm full of grace and truth.
Amen.
I'm full of every bit of it. Whatever you need, I've got it. The bride is the only one that can even forgive. I don't care what they say. They can't forgive. They don't even know how to forgive. It's still, they don't even know what to do with it. But me, oh, I know what to do with it. I can forgive in such a way. God said I can forgive in such a way. I can put it in the sea of forgiveness to never be remembered again. Ever. God himself can't even bring it up. That's forgiveness, Brother Ward. This world, they don't even know how to do grace. They don't know how to give grace. It's just a word they've read in the Bible somewhere, and then they've added their creeds to it. But I'm so grateful. The bride knows how to forgive. She knows how it is to love. She's got an eternal love that goes all the way throughout eternity that never ends. It's got no end in sight. She can love that way. She's got God's love. God's agape love. And I'm so grateful, Brother Moore. I've got that. I don't lack nothing. I don't have anything. Yeah, the natural side. Yeah, you can look at that all day long, and we'll never come to an end on that. I can tell you all my failures, my shortcomings, and on and on and on and on. But at the end of the day, that don't amount to a hill of beans. I've got the Word of God. That's what I've got. I appreciate this Word. I appreciate being able to come to a place of worship. I love this body more and more and more. I see the troops come marching in. Lay your swords aside. We'll come in here for one thing. That's to worship Him. You know, I was thinking about that song, and I thought, well, that pretty well sums it up. I come in here, I give Him all my praise, give Him all my worship when I'm raising my holy hands, and on and on and on.
Amen.
It's all just to worship God. It's all to give it all back to Him, saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us already and what you will do for us. Amen.
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 My.
You double dipping. Go ahead.
No, I was just inspired and excited by all the testimonies and how we, it's just a great thing. And now we have all those tools that we can use and just that'll make us stronger. You know, and I was just sitting there thinking, you know, at the end of the service, I want to get a prayer cloth for my husband. You know, it's not necessarily in the cloth, but, you know, it's just another tool. You know, that'll help increase our faith. And I was just sitting here thinking, you know, and I had a song on my heart, but I can't squawk it out right now because I know I'm going to cry. But I'm just so thankful that all the testimonies just got me so excited. You know, I'm just, it's just such a blessing just to remember how good God is and how you can't make me doubt Him. No, you know, I know too much about Him.
Amen.
So I'm going to try it. I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
You can make me doubt Him. You can make me doubt Him. You can make me doubt Him in my heart. Oh, you can make me doubt Him. I know too much about Him. You can make me doubt Him in my heart. You can make me doubt Him. You can make me doubt Him.
Drop that down to G, because I ain't gonna do that. And y'all ain't gonna set me up.
Amen.
You know, I believe in whatever you do, you want to do it with all the lies within you. And I don't believe in half doing something. And I don't believe in just taking a little bit of it. If you're gonna sing it, we're gonna sing it. If you're gonna do it, we're going to do it.
Amen.
I appreciate Sister Courtney because she listened to God.
Amen.
And she got up and she sang it.
Yeah.
She said she's cranking, but she did a good job. So we're going to keep that song going because you can't make me doubt him. Amen. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Well, now you can't make me, for I know. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my. You can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Oh, well, now you can't make, for I know too much about him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Well, I've got the love of Jesus. Yes, I've got the love of Jesus. Oh, I've got the love of Jesus. You can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Oh, yes, you can make me, for I know. Oh, yes, you can make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Well, you can't make, for I know too much about. Oh, yes, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Well, now you can't make, for I know too much about him. Yes, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Now, Lord Jesus, we come here this morning. Lord, so thankful for the revelation. Lord, you give me that security, that understanding, that rest to know who I am. Lord, when you reveal your word to us, no one can make me doubt. I don't care what comes our way, neither height nor depth, nor things present or things to come. Lord, I know who I am now. And we're so thankful for that revelation. Thank you for this group that's gathered here this morning. Lord, we ask you to send forth your word to those that are sick and can't be here today, that has a heart's desire to be in a house, but physical ailments have precluded them from coming. And Lord, we ask you to send forth your word so that, Lord, the healing powers of God, Lord, you paid the price for it already. And let the healing of Jesus Christ move in their hearts and their lives. For Lord, we gather here this morning. We ask you, Lord, as this congregation is waiting, we ask you to come and walk these aisles, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, in the word that we have laid out before us, to break it down in such a way that it would help somebody along the way. Lord, the song says, if I can help somebody, then my living would not be in vain. Lord, when you're in our lives, it's not in vain. But Lord Jesus, you said, in vain do they worship me, teaching after the doctrine and the commandments of men. Lord, this morning we're gathered, but not in vain. For Lord, you're here in spirit and in truth. And it takes both of those to bring you on the scene. And Lord, we ask you to have your way today. Move every hindrance aside, bind Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be able to enjoy this service and have you move amongst us. Thank you for this word that we're about to read. But Lord, take it and quicken it to our hearts. Have your way with us, Father, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. good being in a house. Oh, I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Well, I have got the love of, oh, I've got the love of Jesus. Yes, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I've got the love of Jesus. Come on, church. I've got the love of Jesus. Yes, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I have got the love of Jesus. Well, I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Amen. That's what's in there. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Man, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have the love of Jesus in your heart. That's what makes you do what you do. That's what makes you act like you act. That's what makes you pick up what you pick up and lay down what you lay down. It's the love of Jesus. It's not a form. It's not a fashion. It's not something that somebody's forcing me to do. But because I love him, I willingly look. He so loved us that he willingly gave. So if he willingly gave because of love, you will willingly give because of love. If the love of Jesus is in you, you will give. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I got announcements. We ain't doing announcements. We got announcements to make, and so Jeremiah had to make sure I don't forget. Now, Brother Allen, Jerry Allen, is coming to be with us on the 19th?
February 15th.
See, that's why I was waiting for Jeremiah again. February 15th, Brother Allen's going to be here on Wednesday night. He's going to be here to visit us. Amen. Now, listen closely. Brother Tony Ojurubisa, did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's coming to be with us on April the 2nd weekend. And all this will be put up, so I'm just giving you all this, because this is not a lot of logistics going on here. So April 2nd weekend, I was talking to him, and he was going to come and visit us. It's so funny. Now that I think about this, this is really even funnier. He was going to come to visit us a week of April, March 20th. And I said, Brother Tony, I'm going to be, I feel like I've been set up. The more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I've been set up, man. So he was going to come to visit us during the week of the 20th. Well, I'm supposed to be in Atlanta that week. But I'm not. But I am. This is funny. This is how God does things. So I told him, I said, no, Brother Tony, you can't come that week because I'll be out of town. So he canceled his flight, his ticket, and sent me back notification that he will be with us on the 2nd of April. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll be here. So after I hung up, I was going to put it on my phone calendar, and I looked. I said, it's Palm Sunday. I said, well, that's Easter time. I said, well, we might as well have an Easter meeting that week. And so I moved our Easter meeting to Palm Sunday. And all this was happening, like, in short time. So I said, well, we'll just have a meeting. Our Easter meeting is going to be Palm Sunday this year. And we'll have a meeting on Saturday, meeting Sunday morning, dinner Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday night service. So that's going to be our Easter services. So we got that set up. Then it dawned on me that I told Brother June I couldn't come see him because I had services here at Easter.
Well.
So now I don't have services here at Easter.
Well.
So I text Brother June and I'm on my way to the Philippines.
Well.
So I'm going to the Philippines for his Easter meeting, because his Easter meeting is April 6th and 7th, because he has to be in Hong Kong on Easter Sunday. So I said, fine, I'll come to your meeting now that I'm not having a meeting that Sunday, so I'm supposed to be going there. And they said, I also want you to do my Easter service in Manila. So now I'm doing Easter in Manila, and then I'm going to fly down to Victor's and have a couple of day meeting down with Victor while I'm there. And then I come to find out that I'm moving. The whole reason I didn't, all of this fell into place, and I just dawned on me while I was standing here. Well, the week of the 20th, I'm not going to be going to Atlanta. I'm going earlier. So the whole reason for all this to happened because of something that didn't really exist. But that's the way God works. That's the way God works. And so there's a lot of things going on. So we're going to have Easter services. We'll announce it, and we'll get everything. That's another 2 months away. But we've got a lot of planning to do. I got a lot of planning to do. So you just be in prayer, and sounds like I'll be leaving. And I looked at some things. Looks like I'll be leaving here on the 3rd of April and won't be back until about the 14th. So you keep these meetings in your prayers, because y'all are surprised, but you're not. We knew it was coming. Actually, I thought about it earlier, and I thought, well, when I turned June down originally, I said, well, I'll maybe go towards the end of the year when they had their Christmas meetings, and I thought, man, that's a whole year away. And now it's not a whole year, it's 2 months away. So amen. So keep those things in mind. Plus, we got other things with the church that are coming up. I appreciate Jeremiah and Jay and their helping us around here and keeping things moving, because we try to keep things going for the young people and old people alike, so that we're, you know, doing things as a body, because it is a body ministry. So we will be doing these things, and you pray about this meeting, because it's interesting. Just to say, it's interesting how it all come out. And so I'll be with June the whole time, and I'll be with Victor the whole time. So it's not like I'm going to strange land and strangers. I'll be with brothers that I know. And so you be in prayer for this, because this is a new thing for me. Just to be able to go like this. But God knows what he is doing. I wasn't surprised, but I am. So, amen. So we are going to start today and spend a little time. I'm going to start out in the Old Testament, actually. I'm going to go over to Deuteronomy. And we're going to start our reading there. Congratulations to Courtney and Jay on their business, and they got that open house done. And it's good to see the body moving, and good job. So we have this list of things that we wanted to talk about this year, and this came off of that list that I'm going to talk about this morning, and it's a fitting topic, because people don't understand a lot of things. They really don't. They have the Bible, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how the scriptures run. So I want to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I just have two verses I want to read here. And I hear the pages turning, so you brought your Bibles. I can't hear the pages on the cell phones when they... But Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, just two verses here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I did want to talk this morning, if you want to title this, The One True God. Amen. And it's odd But in the hour that we're living in, people don't understand the Godhead. They really don't. They don't know where it come from. They don't know. I had a lady tell me a long time ago when I was at Shoutsmith, nobody understands the Godhead. But that's not true. Maybe you don't understand the Godhead, and that's because of the teachings of men. But I wanted to go all the way back here to Deuteronomy, because this was going back to where everything was set up at the beginning. And if you get it right in the beginning, you can have it right in the end. And when you're dealt with the Godhead, when you ask the church world, they'll say, oh, well, you know, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Ghost. And some people say it's three gods. Some people say it's one God and three persons. But if there is a person, there is a personality. Right. So you can't say that it's a person without it being a personality. So, in their education, man has taught, and honestly, the majority of the church world believes in the Trinity. Matter of fact, it was years ago that they said the definition of a cult was people who did not believe in the Trinity. They denied the Trinity. So the majority of the church world are holding fast to that Trinity doctrine, and they don't even really understand it themselves. When they try to explain it in the three persons or in three personalities or however they try to word it, if it ends up with three, it's wrong. Because those three are one. He is not only Father and Son and Holy Ghost, but He's Redeemer. He's Savior. He's Jehovah. There's seven redemptive names of Jehovah alone. But even when you're dealing with that, the Jews never believed in three gods. They never believed in the Trinity. And God never pushed a Trinity. And God never even pushed to Him being three. Remember when they were on Mount Transfiguration? And Jesus was there. And Moses was there. And Elijah was there. And Peter got excited because he was about ready to start a Trinitarian church. He's getting ready to get started. He said, oh, blessed that we were here. Good thing that we were here. We're going to build three temples. We're going to do these things. And God spoke Himself. Amen. And said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Yeah. Not them. God never looked at it as them. When God went up to Abraham, He said, my Lord. Right. See, when God comes on the scene, you don't see two or three of them. Right. Every time God showed up, He's only showed up in one. Right. Anytime He dealt with man, He dealt with one. When Moses wanted to see the backside of a man, he didn't see three men walking there. He only saw one. When the Son of Man was down there and the children of Israel, the Hebrew boys, were in trouble, then when the king looked over the edge and he looked in there, he saw one likened unto the Son of Man. He didn't see three of them in there. It was only one. So you have to ask yourself, then, why in the world is the majority of the world stuck on three if there's only one? You got to understand where that came from. Amen. You got to understand when it started. You got to understand where it come from, because it didn't come from the garden. It didn't come from Moses. You see in Deuteronomy, it didn't say that. It didn't say the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one Lord according to the Word of God. But where do we get the Trinity? Trinity's not even in the Bible. So you have to ask yourself, where did it come from? Because the majority of the people believe in Trinity. Brother Branham said, in the seventh seal, you can't cut God into no two or three pieces called Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and make three gods and hand it to a Jew. His very commandment is, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Right. So if God is number one, then there's none other before him. I am the Lord thy God. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Hear ye, O Israel, I am the Lord your God, one God, not three." You never give that to them. No prophet will ever talk about three gods.
That's right.
No, nowhere. You'll never hear that. No, sir. That's pagan and heathen. And where it come from? Yes, sir. It come from paganism. It come from Rome. You wonder why we're not part of the Roman Catholic Church. They don't understand that when Rome started, paganism came into the church. That's hard for people to hear. It's hard for people to say. But until Rome came into existence at the Nicaea Council, they never believed in a Trinity. Up until then, they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Up until then, they believed in one God. But then the paganism come into play, and the reason you call it paganism because they got multiple gods, they don't believe that there's only one God. Now you talk to them, and if you talk to them, they put a pretty good case together to try to make it three persons, three personalities, three this or three that, but there's not three. So you can't even understand the Godhead right unless you know there's one God. You can't even appreciate what's in you unless you understand the Godhead. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Just jump over to there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start with verse 1. I usually like to jump down, but I don't like to do it as much because you lose the thought. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering and forbearing one another in love. We can't get people to do that. If you just read those few little things there, lowliness, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's a mouthful right there. And that ain't what I'm trying to read. That's what I try to skip. But you can't skip over something this good.
Right.
If you see these things, you found a believer.
Right.
Wow. Amen. So what's the reverse of that? If you don't see these things,
right,
you don't see a believer.
Amen.
Check yourself by those. One, two, three, four. Check yourself by those four items. Now, we're not trying to give you evidence of the Holy Ghost, but if the Holy Ghost is there, this will be there.
Amen.
It's like you got to have this in your life. People think that they can call themselves a Christian and still be mean. Still be selfish. Be short-tempered. Can't take nothing.
Come on, Lord. Amen.
Can't put up with nothing. And there's people at the church, better not bother me.
Come on, Lord. Free, Lord. Amen. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
You got to forbear one another.
Yeah.
And not just because somebody's making you do it. You do it because of love. It's love for the brethren that makes you put up with them. It's love for the sister that makes you put up with them. If you don't have these four things in your life, I wonder if he's there. I mean, that should be your heart's desire. I heard it this morning. I want to do better. I want to be better. What are you trying to be better at, these four things? Meekness. Some people are so self-righteous. There ain't no meekness about them all. Or if there is a meekness, it's some kind of phony, man-made meekness. God bless you, brother. and talking about you and backstabbing you? If you need them, they ain't coming. You can tell somebody's your brother if you call them at 3 in the morning and tell them to come and get you.
Amen.
Amen.
I ain't that in my boots. I'm just reading through here, people. Yeah, I wish y'all skipped down now. Just keep reading. Just don't talk. Just keep reading. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You should be doing everything you can to keep the peace.
Amen.
Why are you fighting your brother? Why are you fighting your sister? Why are you fighting your husband? Why are you fighting your wife? Why are you fighting your family? Why are you fighting? Why are you fighting? Why are you fighting? Where's the peace? There should be peace in our life. There really should. We shouldn't be all tore up about everything all the time. Endeavoring, trying, pushing, pressing. You're doing the best you can, Michelle. You're doing the best you can. That's why you say, I want to do better. You're endeavoring to do better. Trying to do better. Want to be better. We're not here because we want to be worse. I don't need your permission to sin. I can be bad all by myself. But I'm endeavoring to be better. I'm pushing, pressing, trying my best to do the best I can do. And then people still got their foot on you. Not trying to keep the peace. Trying to pick a fight. Trying to start something. That's why I leave everybody alone. They say, yeah, they don't know you in this message. That's on purpose. That's on purpose. I don't want to be known in this message. There is one body. And one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. It's all oneness. They're all oneness. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Oh, it doesn't matter how you baptize. Oh, yes, it does. They said, well, I've been baptized. How are you baptized? Ask yourself today, how were you baptized? So, it doesn't matter. I've been baptized. I was sprinkled in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They ain't said his name yet. I was baptized. I was dumped. I went under the water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you tell me that we got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the one name. Under heaven, duh. There's even a oneness in the name.
Amen.
There's only one name under heaven, even if there were three. Even if there were three, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost would still be wrong. Because there's only one name under heaven, and you ain't called none of those three titles a name yet.
Amen.
There's only one name under heaven given to men, whereby we must, not maybe, not can, you must be saved. If you're not saved, you're hell bound.
That's right. Amen.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God.
Amen.
And Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Well, I thought the Father was on the throne. He is. But I thought the Father was with the Son. He is. But what's this in you? If the Father's in you, but I thought the Son came and got in us. But I thought the Holy Ghost came and got in us. See, somewhere along, you got to get your thinking out of the way. Because you ain't going to read this and understand it trying to hold on to your Trinitarian thinking.
Right.
They had the same problem with Jesus. Walking around talking with him and working with him, and Jesus right there on day and night. And they said, Jesus, show us the Father. That'll satisfy us.
Amen.
Jesus said, you'll never be satisfied. When you see me, you see the Father. How sayest you then, show us the Father?
Amen.
If I ask you today to show me the Father, how are you going to do it? What are you going to say about it?
Amen.
When you see me, you see the Father. Have I been so long with you and you don't know me yet? Don't you know my voice? Don't you know me when you hear me? My sheep hear my voice. My voice, where's your voice coming from? Your people. When I get through today, I hope there's not a Trinitarian in the house. It's hard when you read the scripture to tie it in with a Trinitarian doctrine. Especially when it said there's one.
Amen.
Read that again. One God.
Yeah.
And Father of all.
That's right.
All. He's your Father. He's my Father. He's Jesus' Father.
Amen.
Who is above all?
Yeah.
Our Father.
Amen.
Which art in heaven.
Come on.
Yeah, I got scripture for what I believe. Above all, through all, Jesus prayed, St. John 17.
Yes.
Father, I pray for them.
Amen.
That believe on me.
Right.
Through thy name. Father, I'm working with. He was with us.
Right.
It was God with us.
Yes. Amen.
And in you all. The Father is in us. Now explain that, Trinitarian. Well, the Father speaks. You know that I used to see these tracks back when I was younger. They used to have God the Father as this man sitting on the throne. Then they had Jesus, this little boy. And the Holy Ghost was the mother. They had a woman. It's a woman that's the mother. And when I was growing up, because I was never a Trinitarian, I was always apostolic, I always thought that was funny. I thought, they're trying to make it work, trying to make it like a family. Like, we all share the same last name. That ain't the oneness we're talking about. No, Brother Brown was talking about a oneness, and people were getting on him for the Godhead, and he said that they were talking about a oneness, and they were trying to equate the oneness of a husband and wife as the oneness of God. See, that's what we try to figure it out, how that works. And so we try to make that work. But Brother Branham said, that ain't the oneness I'm talking about. Because he said, look at me. You see me. And he wasn't with his wife. Said, yes, I see you. Said, do you see my wife? No. Said, that ain't the oneness I'm talking about. When you see me, you see the Father.
Right.
So the same Father that's above all, with all, is in you all.
Amen.
It's God with us.
Right.
And see, you got to understand about those Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those are titles.
Right.
Those are offices
of God.
God did the work of the Father. God did the work of the Son. God did the work of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Just think about this now. Let's just really rack our brain.
Yeah.
Now, here Jesus is in the water with John, and down comes the Holy Ghost like a dove. From the Father. I'm going to mess you up really good. So you got the Father in heaven, Jesus in the water, the dove above his head. The Holy Ghost. Which one of us is God? Which one is the Father? Matter of fact, the angel told Mary that she conceived was of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But the Holy Ghost hadn't been given, and that makes the Holy Ghost the Father of Jesus.
Right.
See? And Trinitarian thinking doesn't even run. The Father has to be God.
Yes.
The dove that was coming down, the Holy Ghost from heaven, had to be God.
Yes.
Jesus in the water was God.
Amen.
He was the Word, John 1:1, made flesh.
Right.
You have trouble understanding where you're at, but if you understand that, you should. If you understand how God's in you, you should understand how God was in Jesus.
Amen.
It was God in Christ. Those were three offices. And it's what God did. He said, the same God all the time, God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Amorphia, brought out so that he could be seen. And now the same God is the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, not three gods, three offices, three acts of the one God. So you got to understand the Godhead, because you don't know what's in you if you don't know who God is.
Right. Right.
People thought Jesus was taking too much upon himself because he was a man making himself equal with God. But what else could he do? He was God.
Amen.
They get confused with us. They think we take too much upon ourselves. But I'm sorry, there's only one God. If God's in you at all, it's got to be the real God. The same one that created the heaven and the earth. There's only one, remember? We're not Trinitarians around here. At least we won't be by the time this service is done. It's only one God. 325 put three gods in existence. The Catholic Church, Rome, started it. The mother whore started it. And the daughters went and took the same doctrines that the mother had. We lost track of the Godhead for 2,000 years. It wasn't until 1906 that they even after that got the Godhead right.
Amen.
Right.
All the way up to 1906. When the Pentecostal age started, they realized that there's one God, but they didn't even have it balanced. Because see, I come from apostolic, and I know we believed in Jesus only. And we talked about it being Jesus only, and we used that term, Jesus, didn't we, Brother Lockett?
Yeah.
We used Jesus only as the term.
Yeah.
And we used that because we said Jesus is the only God. But that's not right.
No.
That's off balance. Because Jesus was the Son of God.
Right.
He wasn't the Father. He was the Son.
Right.
It's got to fit in there.
Yeah.
So for you to baptize in just Jesus' name ain't even right.
Yeah. Right.
It needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's his name. That's his title. That's who he is.
Right.
Jesus played baseball. So for us to say Jesus only is off.
No.
That's right.
Jesus had a beginning.
Yes.
The Son had a beginning.
Right.
He had a birthday.
Yeah.
What do you think was happening in that barn?
Right. Right.
He was being born.
Yeah.
It happened on a day.
Right.
That man Jesus had a start date.
Yes.
Not the God part of him. But the flesh had a beginning. That's why he had 33 years. But the God that was in him didn't have a beginning. Just like you. You have a birthday. You had a beginning. But there's a part of you that didn't have a beginning. The part that comes from God did never have a beginning. That's the eternal life that was in you all along. It was eternal life in Jesus Christ. But Jesus, the man, had a day that he started. Came into manifestation. Was born on this earth. Lived 33 years. And died. Jesus, the man, died.
Amen.
But the one true God did not.
No.
The one true God never dies.
No, sir.
He didn't die in Jesus.
Uh-uh.
And he won't die in you.
That's
why death has lost its sting.
Yes.
Because we've been born again.
Yes.
We come from God. We're going to God. We're endeavoring to press towards the mark of the high calling because we belong to him and we want God to use us.
Yes.
There were two ways, polytheism and Unitarianism, that started at Nicaea. Won't read it. Brother Branham said it. It's in the reading if y'all read. Okay. You read for tonight.
Amen.
You already know that.
Come on, right?
So I don't need to read it because you read it. But those two groups started there. One of them became three gods. The other went to one God. But neither one of them had it balanced. Brother Branham said in the spirit of truth, he said, when God was in Christ, he had the spirit fully. He was God. Now, I like the way Brother Branham said this. He said, I'm just one of his servants. And you're just one of his servants. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In me is just a little gift. And in you is a gift of him. But no matter how little it is, it's the same Spirit. He come here. That's why he came different than you and me. He came the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was all God. It was all God in him.
Amen.
He didn't have to be born again. Because the soul he had was right.
Amen.
The soul he had was perfect.
Right.
The soul he had was full of grace and truth.
Amen.
That's who he was. We didn't come that way.
Right.
We come by way of sex and sin. And we had a measure in us.
Right.
Just a little bit of God. Just enough God in us to keep this body alive until he can come to a manifestation. Right. He knew no sin. We knew sin. He didn't steal the cookie. We did steal the cookie. He didn't lie. We did lie. We were guilty. He was not guilty. There was no little measure given to him. He had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We had a little bit in us. I like that. I was reading. I said, Brother Branham, you really broke that down. And then the scriptures go along with that. John chapter 3. Verse 34 says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He didn't get it by measure. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands.
Amen.
He gave him every bit of it.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that threefold purpose, all that God was, he poured into Christ. Why? Because it was still God. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Why? Because it was still God.
Amen.
God ain't gave up nothing. He poured it somewhere, but he didn't give up his he didn't give up his power.
Amen.
He didn't give up who he is. He couldn't give that up because he was Elohim before he was God.
Amen.
He held it all.
Amen.
All God was a manifestation of Elohim.
Amen.
What? God is just a manifestation of Elohim.
Amen.
Just like you are a manifestation of Elohim. Just like Jesus was a manifestation of Elohim. It's all God. When it's done with this thing, it's going to be God all in all.
Yes.
It's going to still be him again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Yes.
He gives John a little bit.
Yes.
Broke a little stuff off and gave a little bit to Clarice. Broke himself off and gave a little bit. He did that to every one of us.
Yes.
Look what he did in the upper room.
Yeah.
That pillar fire didn't just go in one.
No, no.
It didn't go in Peter. He broke himself up to 120 pieces.
Right.
And put a measure in each one of them, quicken himself to them. He put a measure of himself in us. And now we're full of grace and truth. Because of what God has done for you. Not just the Holy Ghost. Oh, he is the Holy Ghost. Not just Jesus. Oh, he is Jesus. But the Father himself had come and taken up his abode in you. Jesus said, I pray that the Father and I come and take our abode in you. We're both coming. Seems like you run out of room if you got to have both of them in there. And then you got the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is going to come. When he comes, he's going to lead and guide you to all truth. But Jesus and the Father said, we're coming to take our abode up. How, what are you going to do, Trinitarian? How are you going to do it now? You got all three of them in you now. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost living up in there.
That's right.
All right. I like what Brother Branham said here. I had to pull this out because we talk about it a lot, but I want to read it. Show us the Father. That's the book, the message. So, well, we have the Spirit with measure. He had it without measure. We are sons and daughters of God by measure. Like taking a spoonful of water out of the ocean. And he's the ocean. He's the whole ocean. But the same chemicals. Sister Belinda. Same chemicals. You work with chemicals. Same chemicals that's in the spoon is in the whole ocean. It's quality, but not the same quantity. Therefore, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. God is in us. Yes. See, that spoonful of ocean has all the elements in it that God has in himself. The whole entire ocean. You can't get any more of the elements in the ocean than you get in that spoonful. You'll get quantity, more of it. Elohim is much greater than we are. But we have just enough God in us to fulfill the scriptures for our day. That's all we need. But it's not less than God. It's still God. It's God in you fulfilling the word of God. It's been God fulfilling his word the whole time. It's never been God here and we're fulfilling the word and God say, oh, look at him doing a good job. No, it's God in you doing this. He's turned your hearts back. He's made you the one, the son and daughter of God. God come to you. God called you. God sanctified you. God called you holy. God created you in such a way that you would receive his word. It's Christ. My goodness. The one true God. That's what I'm talking about. Paul, when he went up to Mars Hill, he started dealing with the preachers there because they had a Trinitarian God. They wanted to make sure they didn't know who God was. And most church people don't know who God is. That's why they got statues of everything. They got Paul, they got Moses, they got everybody, all these saints, they got all this stuff, and they got all these, they want to make sure they cover everybody. They made a mistake with Joan of Arc. Went out, killed her. Found out that she was a saint of God. Oops. Then they're going to kill the priest and bring her bones back and make a saint out of her. Make a statue for her. When I was in jump school, we had a parachute God, a parachute saint. I thought, we got a parachute saint? We do. I don't know where that medal is, but I got a parachute medal and parachute saint. They got parachute saints. They got saints for everything. They are just as insecure as the people of Mars Hill.
Oh, yes.
They don't know who God is, so they do all this stuff to try to make sure all the bases are covered. And then they got so superstitious that they thought, you know what? We don't know who the one true God is, but we want to make sure everybody's covered. So let's make us a statue and make it to the unknown God. Paul walked up there and he went past all those other busts and all those statues and all those gods and all those saints. And he went over to this one little ugly statue in a corner by itself to the unknown God. He said, this is the God that I want to talk to you about. See, when you got three gods, I want to talk to you about the unknown God. Because if you got three, you don't know who's who. You don't even know which one's giving you what. Who's answering your prayers? Is it the Father? Is it the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost knows what you ask for before you even ask. But you pray in Jesus' name and you ask the Father. And these are doctors of divinity to come up with this. That's why Jesus said, you've taken the word of God and made it a none effect. By your traditions. They'll put incense in. They'll pray to Mary. Mary had to go to the upper room like everybody else. I hate to break it to you, but Mary needed the Holy Ghost just like everybody else. Mary was not immaculately concepted. Contrary to denominational tradition. She needed the Holy Ghost. She needed God. She needed the one true God. But she had Jesus. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I always love this. Because this just nails it. It nails it for me. It's if you think you got three, this will mess you up. You say, well, there's three. And you know, we don't even fight about this. I so know there's only one that when you talk about your three, I'm yawning. Because I know you don't have nothing. I've showed you in the Old Testament. I brought it all the way to the New Testament. There's only been one God in this entire Bible. So, Timothy over here, 3:16, without controversy, not even worth fighting over. I wouldn't even debate you over it. These preachers get out there, they try to debate one God versus three God. It's such a waste of time. Amen. You're not going to convert them, and they're not going to convert you. Right. I hope. Without controversy, great is the mystery. This thing is a mystery. The Godhead is a mystery. Right. Elohim is a mystery. You can't get this through your education. Obviously not. They've got colleges, they've got seminaries, they've got degrees, and they still think there's three. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was. Whoa. God was manifested in the flesh. God was. Well, Jesus is the Son of God. God was. God himself was manifested. That's why they had trouble with us. They think we're taking too much upon ourselves. They thought Jesus they crucified him because he said he was God. But he was. He wasn't going to lie to you just to satisfy you. God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached. Until they get Gentiles. Wait a minute. How was God preached? Like he's being preached today. It's the Word. The Word is God. We don't even really give the Word enough credit. We think the Word is one thing and God is something else, but if you have the Word, you have God. It's the self-same thing. God comes down and he gets in you and speaks out through you. That is his Word. We already know how to give God credit. We come to church and hear the preacher. We say, that was a good message. Oh, I enjoyed you. Hallelujah. That was good. And go pray to God about it. When God was talking to you lip to ear, why are you sitting there wondering if you should get baptized? When God is speaking and saying it, There was a time you had to go and read this. When we were in the Son of God age, you had to go and figure it out. You had to go and pray about it. You had to go and find out for yourself and do this and this and this. But in the Son of Man age, it's God's word veiled in human skin. And when God's word come out of these lips and says you need to repent and be baptized, then that's all you need. They didn't have to go look up Peter's word. They took what Peter said and they were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't even think this is God right now, but it is. We think we got to go home and study. You don't need to study God.
No.
Amen. He's evident before you. Why are you still caught between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. Give Him everything. Give Him your all. Let Him have your life. Don't worry about, well, I don't know. I got to figure this out. You don't need to figure out a thing. It's already figured out. It's laid out. This thing is so easy now. It's so plain and so clear now that you don't even, it's just as clear as Peter was on the day of Pentecost when he said, men and brethren, this is that was prophesied. I'm standing in here this morning preaching God to you, and God is speaking to your heart and saying, do what you're supposed to do. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Obey the word of God. The word is just as much God as Elohim himself. That's why the centurion told Jesus, said, you don't need to come home with me. You don't need to follow me home. All you need to do is speak the word. I'm a man of authority. I know if the word gets spoken, it'll happen. If that man can speak the word and a thing will happen, how much more can Elohim speak the word? His word is God. Brother Branham said, God's word is such that you can speak it and go out and build a world and go out and live on it. Oh, we don't even realize that we're doing that. We're creating a world here, Jeremiah. We're creating a world right under our feet, and we're living this thing. This is God living in His Word.
Amen.
The one true God.
Amen.
God was preached unto the Gentiles. God was believed. But I thought you had to believe the Word. I thought you had to believe Jesus. When you believe Jesus, you are believing the Word. When you're believing the Word, you are believing God. Can't do one without the other. Can't have one without the other. You can't have a Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Holy Ghost. The Son reveals the Father, and the Father reveals the Son. And it comes to you by the Holy Ghost and reveals it all to you. Oh, my goodness. This great big secret, we think it's a mystery. It's not a mystery now. It was a mystery under the Son of God age. Now it's so easy. You come to the house of God. You hear the word preached and you respond to the word. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. That's where we're at right now. We're not in an hour. You have 2 and 3 weeks to sit here and contemplate whether this is right. When the word is spoken, the bride will turn quickly to the word. Because that's the one true God talking to you. Choose you this day, not this month, not this year, right now, right now, right now. God's talking to you right now. It's time for you to stop being tossed back and forth right now. It's time for you to stop trying to figure out whether you want to give it all or not right now. It's time for you to just say, God, it's all yours anyway. Let Him have it. Don't try to put on a facade here.
No.
God sees through your facade. They walked in the temple, Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't realize they were standing in front of the Word. They thought they were standing in front of Peter. They were in front of God. There's only one God. There's only one. When you lied to Peter, you lied to God.
Amen.
When you lied to me, you lied to God.
Amen.
When you lied to the body, you lied to God.
Amen.
The one true God is here today. He's here. They brought in their little lie. Ananias lied. Said he got the land for such and such. He said, really?
Yeah.
People don't realize the word's a discerner. You can't lie to the Holy Ghost. You can try. But while you're lying, the Holy Ghost is in there saying, this is the facts. This is the truth. This is how it really is. And I said, yeah, we bought it and we sold it for this much. Hallelujah. We want to give our portion to God. And the bad part about it, if he was honest, he could have given anything he wanted. The problem wasn't the giving. The problem was the dishonesty. See, it's the dishonesty that God hates.
Amen.
It's not the problem of how much you gave or how little. There was a woman who gave a pence. And Jesus was standing there, and they were looking at her and thinking she was nothing. And everybody else was getting their big money and giving all their big testimonies and doing all these things, and she gave her little pence. But that was all she had. And she said she gave more than all of them. Oh, you might come here with your big bucks and write your big checks and do all these things, but God ain't interested in your money. He's interested in your honest heart giving him what he really deserves.
That's right.
Ananias' wife come in with the same lie. Didn't have to lie. If she had good sense, she would have looked around and saw where her husband was before she started opening her mouth. But she was so caught up in the lie, she didn't recognize her husband wasn't there, because you know what happened to her husband? Yeah. Holy Ghost struck him right there on the rug. Yeah. Thank God they had a rug laying there.
That's right.
They fell down. He fell right at the feet of the prophet.
Come on.
They rolled him up in the rug and took him out to bury him. His wife comes in, had the same lie they had kicked up together earlier in the day.
That's right.
She comes in and told the same lie. Didn't have to. That's the thing about it. You don't have to lie. You don't have to lie. Not in the hour of the Son of Man. Because he's discerning you anyway. You come to the house of God, don't sit here and live a lie. Don't sit here and act like you're just so in love with this message and so in love with this word. And the whole time, God is saying, be honest. While you're here today, be honest. You come this far. Why flub it up now? You come all this way. He said, well, I believe some of it. Don't believe some of it. Believe all of it. It's the Word of God. It's the one true God. You are in the presence of the one true God. The same God that created the heavens and the earth is here in this building today. That doesn't hit us just right. We don't understand that just right. We still think we got options. We still think we got another day. You don't know. Tomorrow's not promised you. This might be your last call from God to say, surrender everything to me.
Amen.
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 We're not talking about two or three gods and two or three different people that you got to. No, this is the same God. The same God that's saying, I am, is the same God that created the heaven and the earth. The same God that's saying, I'm here in this building today, is the same God that hung on Calvary and paid the price for you to be able to sit here today. The same God that paid the price for us all is the same God that's standing here and said, don't hold back at all. Give it your all. Same God, not another one. You're not going to see another God. The only God you're going to hear is the God that you're listening to this morning. He said, well, this ain't God. Oh, yes. Don't miss it. This is not an hour that you got God up here somewhere. This is not the Son of God age where you don't know who God is or where he is. You go to your prayer closet to find out if it's God or not. God is here. He's talking according to his word. And if his word is saying that it's coming out of, Brother Brennan said, it's deity coming out of your lips. The one true God, same one. The fullness of the Godhead is made known, Brother Branham said. The secret of mystery is now revealed, that God is manifesting. God and man became one, the anointed man, Christ. What did Christ mean? The anointed one. And the anointed that was anointed with the whole, with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh my, how can people doubt it? Where once partly Moses had him, partly David had him, oh, but here he is manifested in the fullness, deity himself standing on earth. That was the Son of Man. Son of Man. Only going to come twice. God himself standing amongst the people. If you wanted to hear from God, you had to find out where he was. And what are you going to do when Jesus says something to you? If you were there 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, go and baptize here. Go and sell all your goods. Go and feed the poor. Go and take this down to the, go down to the water and get tax money out of the fish's mouth. Oh, we hear Jesus saying those things. And we'd all say ourselves, if we were here in Jesus' day, we would have followed every word that he says. But there is no difference in the Son of Man then and the Son of Man now. It was God deity then, and it's God deity now. If you won't follow God now, if you're sitting in these seats right now doubting who he is, then you would have done it then. If you'd have doubted his word now, You'd doubt it then. Absolutely. You say, well, I'd have followed Jesus. No. What are you doing right now? Come on. Come on. What are you doing? We're talking about the one true God. Yeah. I ain't talking about a Trinity. No. I ain't talking about, well, I follow God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Or I follow Jesus, but I don't know about this Holy Ghost. They're all one and the same.
Right.
If you can't accept the Holy Ghost, you can't accept Jesus, and you can't accept God.
That's right.
That's the one true God. It's got to be so real that you realize you're face to face with deity.
Amen. Right.
Yes. That's what you're dealing with in this hour. People don't understand the fullness of what the Son of Man means in this day. They still want to play church. They still want to have that thinking. Still want to have the idea. I'm talking to all of us.
Yes.
Still want to have our way.
Yes.
Still want to do our thing. Every one of us.
Yes.
But you got the literal God who created heaven and earth right in your presence.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to jump on down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now here's the verse I want to get to, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, the word of reconciliation. The same God that gave it to Jesus turned around and gave it to us. Not another God. Not the second person of the Godhead. Not the third person of the Godhead. It's the Godhead himself has come down here. There is only one way to provide it by God for anything, Brother Branham preached. He was God's word made manifest. He was God's promise, vindicated. He was God in a flesh form. The Bible said that God was in Christ, the great Jehovah that created heaven and earth. We don't realize it's the same one. We don't even realize that in Jesus. That's why we're Trinitarian in our thinking. Because we think he's a lesser God, or he is God's son that doesn't have what God had. He was God's son by manifestation, but it was still God himself. God did not send somebody else to die for our sins.
No.
He came himself. Amen. What kind of man would I be to send David to go pay a price that I owed? I owe a light bill down at the light company. I said, David, go down there and pay that bill for me. It's not David's bill. It's my bill.
Amen.
I pay my own bill. And if I do that as a man, how much more would God pay his own bill?
Amen.
That's why you need to understand the Godhead, because you think God sent somebody else to pay the price. It was God's own blood.
Amen.
It was God's own life.
Yes.
It was God himself. He made it in such a way that he could put himself in a human body and pay the price himself.
Yes.
God himself could not die.
That's right.
But he had to humble himself in such a way that he could die. But it was no less than God himself. Just like you can die. But it's no less than God in you.
Amen.
That great Jehovah that created the heaven and earth was made manifest in the body, the Lord Jesus. And in that one man, he could achieve. He tried it through Moses. He did it in Jacob, he did it in Joseph, but he come in his fullness, and the man Christ, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, where God could express himself and said, who can accuse me of sin? This is what God said. He said, well, I thought Jesus said that. It's the one true God.
Amen.
Who can accuse me of sin? Sin is unbelief. If I haven't done exactly what the scripture said I would do, then who can condemn me and say that that's where I failed in one way? See? It's God's provided way. Who can convince us of sin? We're fulfilling exactly what God saw us do in this hour that we're living in. It's the same God. Just like he was in, you say, oh, it was easy for Jesus because God was in him. It was not easy for Jesus. But he chose to go the route that God wanted him to go.
That's right.
He had to lay down his life.
Right.
Pilate thought he was going to take it. Jesus said, you don't take nothing.
No, no.
I'm laying this down. That's my job.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. Got to the garden and prayed and prayed and prayed. Didn't want it. It wasn't. He just marched and skip up the hill to Calvary. He was a man that had a heavy cross on his shoulder. It was the load was so heavy that he had to have help to carry it.
Amen.
But the cross was just a type of the real load that he was carrying. He was carrying your load and my load and every human being's load.
Amen.
But he willingly went there.
Amen.
Laid down his life.
Yeah. Right.
So that you and I could be saved. He so loved us.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
All the Godhead was in a body. In him. But he poured all of that into the bride. Into our bodies. You are not complete by yourself. You're just part of the body. You're the arm. You're the leg. You're the shoulder. You're the toe. You're part of a body.
Right.
He was the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're a part of a thing. But it's no less God in you than it was in him.
Amen.
We sell ourselves short trying to act like, well, God's this and we're that. Jesus did this. Oh, Jesus went to Calvary. He paid the price. He gave his life. Well, you need to give your life. I need to give my life. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants.
Amen.
When God moves, you move with him. When God says go, you go.
Amen.
It's Christ in you.
Yeah.
Same God.
Same God
trying to do in you what he did in Jesus. Oh, we pat Jesus on the back for what he did, but who's going to pat you? That same one true God that did everything he did in Jesus is the same one true God that is doing everything he's done in you, in me. It's the same God, not another, not three gods, it's one God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven.
Amen.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Amen.
Three offices, one God. Same God doing all of it.
That's right.
If you got the Holy Ghost today, you've got God.
That's right.
If Jesus is speaking to you today, you're hearing from God.
Right.
So you say, oh, Jesus comes and he speaks to us every service. Well, you're hearing from God.
Yeah.
He tells us what to do every service. You're hearing from God.
Right.
When you don't obey what God says, wonder if you even believe it. Now, Brother Brown said, and see not air with the church. Now, we understand also that God is perfect in threes. Now, God is perfected in three. Grace is five. Seven is completion. Like the world, God is perfected in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the perfection of the Godhead. And all one God in three manifestations of three attributes of the one office, or three offices in the one Godhead. Now, there is also three in perfection of the steps of grace to the church: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got to have all three of those. You got to have all three that's in the Godhead. You got to have all three that's in perfection of the church. You got to have justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't stop till you get all three. Don't come here and just be justified. Don't come here and just be sanctified. Be born again.
Yeah.
Brother Lockett always hollered out from way back there, you must be born again.
Right.
Because you got to.
Yeah.
You got to have all three steps in your life. Don't just get baptized.
No, that's right. Amen.
That consists of the new birth, just like a natural birth types by it. Which a woman giving birth to a child, the first thing that comes forth is the water. Then the blood. And then life. With a child's birth, you got to have those three. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and 7:5, I believe it is, that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Father, the Word, which was the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the water, the Word, the water, blood, and spirit. Water, blood, and spirit. And these three agree in one. There's a difference between are one and agree. People try to make the Godhead agree in one. But they don't agree in one. They are one. You got to have the water. You got to have the blood. And then you got to have the Holy Ghost. They agree. All three of those things. That's the order that works. Sometimes it gets out of order. Remember when Cornelius went down there? And they went down and they start preaching the word.
Right.
And they got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Well, they didn't get baptized first. They received the Holy Ghost. They received the word, believed the word, received the Holy Ghost. And then they got the Holy Ghost. Then they're like, hey, they got to be baptized because these three agree in one.
Right.
They didn't happen in the right order, but you know what? But when it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. That's not an agreement. They are. There are three that bear witness on earth. And say, now, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one. You can't have the... Oh, I love this. This makes me want to get up and run around sometimes when I'm reading. You can't have the Father without having the Son. And you can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. But you can be justified without being sanctified.
Amen.
And you can be sanctified without being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We have proved that in the order of nature. See, you can't have God unless you have Jesus. And you can't have Jesus without the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost living in you today, you got the one true God living in you.
Amen.
Gotta have it. No other way. Can't have one without the other.
Amen.
So you're dealing with the one true God living in you.
Amen.
You're dealing with God come down and make himself one with you. Jesus had to come, and I'm winding up, wrapping down or whatever it is. Jesus had to come because we needed somebody without sin to pay the price so that we can get reconnected back to God. Because we were all trying to get back to God. We're not just trying to get to Jesus. Jesus is going to be our elder brother when it's done. When it's all said and done, Jesus is going to be coming down to your house. He would say, hey, I'm your elder brother. When my brother comes to town, I put him up, I give him a bed, I feed him, I take care of him, we sit and talk and chat.
That's right.
That's what you do with your elder brother. That's what you do with your elder brother.
Yeah.
But when we get there,
amen.
Jesus is going to be looking for you and talking to you and having a good time with you.
Right.
We think he's just going to be floating up in the air. And we're all looking at him and said, oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll give him our crowns. Yeah, we'll get into glory. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be.
Right.
But Jesus ain't trying to be the big shot. He wants to be our elder brother.
Amen.
When it's done, it's going to be God all in all.
Right.
I'm not going to be coveting the Don. The Holy Ghost in me, the God in me, is going to be the same as the God in him.
Amen.
Same God in him is going to be the same God in Paul.
Amen.
Same God in Paul is going to be the same God in Brother Branham.
Yep.
Same God in Brother Branham is going to be the same God in Jesus.
That's right.
He's going to be God all in all.
Right.
We'll be satisfied with the role that we played down here,
amen,
and we'll be talking about it as eternity rolls.
Right.
But it's going to be the one true God all in all.
Amen.
One last quote. Now I'm skipping some things, but to get to this close here. Show Us the Father is the book Brother Branham preached. It's three manifestations of the same God. See? It's three attributes. God the Father. That was in the wilderness in the form of the pillar of fire. And then the same God expressed himself in his Son, which was the same God in his Son. And now the same God now express himself in you and I. As the Holy Spirit. The same God. All the time. Not three gods. Three manifestations of the same God. Three attributes of the Father. That's what he was. He displayed it as a son. That's what he was. And now as the Holy Spirit in his people. God condescending can't be touched because of sin. Then God himself was made reflected in a man, because man was made in the image of God. And God was made in the image of man in order to suffer so that he could take away sin. And now he is in us.
Amen.
Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. Yet I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. God in us. Does that make sense to you? That's why we need to understand that this whole church thing that we're doing now, this isn't just us coming talking about God. This is God himself amongst us, in us, dealing with us, discerning. God discerns here all the time. He discerns. He's a discerner. You try to get away with something, God finds it out. Clarice did something the other week, last Sunday was. Well, she did it last week. But she didn't say it. She didn't tell me about it. And after last Sunday, I was pretty drunk when I went home.
Yeah.
I got home, and I kid you not, I walked over there, and then everything just fell into place. And I looked at her, and I told her something, and I asked her something. She started stuttering. And what I was telling her was exactly what she was trying to keep from me. It's you got to understand, the word's a discerner. You're in an hour where God is here talking to us. He's dealing with us. You walk in here and you act like nobody knows you. God knows you. I don't even tell y'all what sometimes goes through my head when I'm sitting up here watching. I sit on the organ, I just see. I see y'all, and I know I see everything.
Yes.
I see the real. I see the phony. I see the put on. I see, I can't help it. And you get under this kind of anointing, and everything's open before you, and you know, people think Brother Brown's the only one that had discernment. The Word is a discerner. When you walk in these doors, the Word is discerning you. That's I say it all the time. I say, don't come here and put on. Because usually when I say that, I see somebody putting on something, trying to produce. I don't say nothing for nothing. And I say, don't put on. And when I say don't sit there trying to decide, that means somebody's sitting there in their mind battling. Because I hear it. I can't explain it, but I know. I know what I know. It's God in His place. And He knows your heart. And when you're sitting there trying to decide whether you want to go all the way with Him or where you want to hold back a little bit, been holding back and said, well, I don't want to be no old fuddy-duddy. I don't want to look like this. I don't want to dress like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up. And you're sitting there having this battle in your mind. Right. God sees that battle. And He knows what's going on. And you need to make up your mind. Whatever you have to give up and die for this thing is worth it all. Because God Himself, the one true God, is on the scene.
That's right.
And He'll let us know what He wants us to know.
Right.
And He'll tell us what He wants to tell us. I remember we did a prayer line one time, and I was doing a prayer line, and nobody ever came back and said, well, you got it wrong. You got this wrong. I don't even know altogether what I said. I just remember that was a powerful night that night or that day, whenever it was. But God is here, people. The one true God is here. You're busy looking at people and circumstances, and people get caught up in personalities and all that. But the Word is where God is. Not the personalities and people and what they like and don't like. And it's the Word.
Amen.
And it's the same Word that the true God has had since He created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
There's only one true God. And He's here in this building today. That's how real He is. And you say, well, I can sneak by. I can play games. No, don't. Please don't. Many of them have tried and are not here today. But here we are, the Word, still going flowing from this place. We're rejoicing in this place and what God has done. My goodness. One true God. There's only one. There's only one. And He's dealing what He's doing. I told you at the beginning of the service how all this came about, me going to the Philippines. All of that happened within an hour. Did it, Jeremiah? He's sitting there watching it. All this happened within an hour. And from the beginning to the decision and the communication was between us and the Philippines happened within an hour. Now, what would it be like if you said, well, let's go pray about it. Let's hold on and let's wait. This is an hour that God's moving the pieces around as He wants it moved. We just don't notice it. But God is real. There's only one. And He is actually on the earth in His bride moving. And I guarantee you, those meetings are going to be great. I guarantee you, they'll be good. Because God's in arrangements. It's not me saying. I've been telling y'all for over a year. But I don't move till God says move. But then when God moves, I made the decisions before Clarice even knew. She come downstairs. I said, well, I'm going to the Philippines. She's like, what? Okay, well. When God says something, I do it, and I don't ask nobody.
That's right.
And when God's talking to you, you need to step out on it because it's the same one true God that's moving in this place. And He wants you to step out on His Word. What better thing can you step out on? He said, heaven or earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. You can't lose stepping out on God's Word. Quit holding on. Quit holding back. Quit trying to decide. Decide? The decision's already been made. God called you. He went out there in the world and pulled you here. Purposely selected you. So why would you sit here and halt between two opinions? He's already decided for you. Because he knows what you're going to do with the word.
Right.
He knows you love him. And he wants you to just give him your all.
Right.
Amen. Brother Lockett. Jeremiah, give him a mic. Somebody give him a mic. They're going to get you a mic because I want it on the internet too.
I said, I'm determined, and I'm convinced that it will take a revelation.
Yes, sir.
To make all this that he said one. It will take a revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's what happened to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason I can say that.
Amen.
I didn't know that. You know, I was kind of confused. We all were when we were class.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
God walked right in here and did it.
Uh-huh.
He walked right in here amongst us.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, if you missed it, I'm sorry. Didn't it, John?
Amen.
Amen. So, could you do me a favor, Brother Moore?
Yes, sir.
St. John 14:20.
All right.
St. John 14:20.
Jeremiah.
St. John 14:20.
See, a lot of things happen after you're born again.
That's right.
You see a lot of things.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
That,
you ready?
Say, yeah.
At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Uh-huh.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I just said.
That is. Amen.
Amen, Brother Lockett. It does take a revelation. And if you don't get a revelation, you will think we're taking too much upon ourselves, just like they thought Jesus was taking too much upon himself.
Amen.
But it's the one true God, the only God there is that's in here today, is the same God that said, let there be at the beginning.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for this opportunity to be here. Lord, if there's someone here, anyone that's just not quite sure, just, Lord, make it sure for them. Help them to give up this thinking that they have and to accept your word, because it's the same God that's done everything else. You're the only one doing all this work. And Father, you said you'll come and take your abode with us, and you've done that, and you're right in our presence. Ask you to have your way with this body. Let us be more sincere than ever before. Let us press and push, knowing that, Lord, we can give more to you. You gave your all to us. So let us give our all back to that one true God. Thank you for all you've done, and direct us, direct our path. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for this for Jay.
Amen.
And I know he's sicker about missing church than he's sick in the body.
Amen. Pastor Moore, while you're getting that together, I'd like to testify. I'm going to leave my testimony from my experience. I'm a real person. I have just as many faults as anybody else.
Don't we all?
I don't have to hide anything.
Mm-mm.
But I wanted to tell this because maybe this will help somebody. What he said today is true. God is in this place, really. I know one time to preach and he'll say, oh, when Clarice and us, when we have differences of opinion, you think maybe You can ask my kids. Have I ever spoke out to him? No. It's just like Sarah when she went back in the tent. If you have something inside, if you think it, if you don't say a word, God is so manifested here. He knows your heart. He is not lying. Mm-mm. I cannot get away with anything. I mean, and wait a minute. Let me tell you this. You don't have to say anything. You may not. I'm gonna give this testimony. I never gave this one. It was back, I'm gonna be honest. I was back when Brother Childers used to be breaking down black folks, and I didn't like it. And I would just sit there. Well, nobody would. It's like somebody slapping your face. Nobody would like that. So I sat there, but I didn't say nothing. And for a while, I gave him a lot of grace. I said, okay. But there was one day that in my heart, I said these words, you cannot make me believe that that man is not a racist. God knew the very second that that flipped over in my heart and I thought he was a racist, okay? I had enough respect not to say one word to anybody about it, and I didn't. God ran me down in a human body, and I hadn't talked to that person. I swear to you that I hadn't said anything to anybody. He walked up to me like this, looked me dead in the eye, and said these words, "People think Brother Childress is a racist, but he's not." For that, and you know what happens? Every now and then, all the clouds clear. And I looked at that person, I realized I was looking dead into the eyes of God. And you know what I said? I said, okay. And it never bothered me. I laid it down right then. I settled it right then. God is really here. It may not look like it. He may look like an ordinary human being. And so do you. But God is really manifested in the flesh. Isn't it strange? It's so supernatural, but so natural that you can just walk right over and miss it. But he's here. I want to verify that he's telling the truth.
He is here, that's for sure. Lay your hand right on there, Sister Courtney. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here this morning on behalf of Brother Jay. Lord, he's been battling this cold or whatever it's been for about a week now. Lord, we're tired of it. And we know that by your stripes he's already healed. And I pray, Father, that by the time she gets home with this cloth, that he'd already be raised up feeling better. The cough's got to go. The problems, the aches and pains and fevers and anything else that's bothering him have to move out of the way and let your word bring forth the healing power that you're already paid for by your stripes. We thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go.
Other ones. Next Sunday evening is when you guys are invited over to Lisa's My House, so don't forget that at 6:30.
No service here.
So there'll be no service Sunday night here. And then that's it. That's all I have.
In other words, I forgot him. I forgot to tell. Hey, Mel.
Get up and say that I believe that word you made is so real to me. And God just continues to speak to me. And when I was deciding to move here, I would tell people I got to be about my Father's business.
That's it.
And it was a mouthful, but I can't just do it there. I have to do it here as well. Mm-hmm. And it just walking every day, it just feels like I'm uplifted because
Amen.
I know I'm manifesting him
That's
the
right.
best way I can.
That's right.
And it feels better. People mm-hmm. greet you differently.
Mm-hmm.
The same for me. And you just made that real, Pastor, and I really, really believe this word.
Amen. Amen. Can. Amen. Your brother?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God is a healer.
Yes, He is.
He's not worried about circumstances. He's got it all. Heavenly Father, Lord, our sister Belinda has come here to stand in behalf of her brother who's about to go under the knife in surgery. Father, we know man can only cut. They can't heal. And she loves her brother and standing in a gap for him, knowing that he's had some health issues and want to see him healthy so that she can enjoy her life with her brother. Ask you to send forth your word and send forth the healing power. And Lord, touch his body. Lord, should he need that surgery? He doesn't even have to have that. But Lord, should he need it, then Lord, you still have to do the healing. Ask you to send forth your healing power to touch him and to bring him whole so that he can share his life with his sister. And he may not even understand it's God that loves him. But Lord, we understand these things. Go with her. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sure can. We sent 6 or 8 out recently, and I'm expecting to hear something back. Because, you know, there was the lepers that Jesus healed, and he healed 10, and only one came back. We sent out prayer cloths. Maybe only one will come back, but God likes to hear you tell what he's done for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, our sister come here in behalf of her family. Lord, you know the needs, you know the problems, the sicknesses. Lord, it's not bound by some term or some name that the doctors call it, but Lord, you know her heart and you know her desires to see total healing for her family. I ask you to use these cloths as a vessel to send forth faith that it might raise the faith up to bring the healing that's necessary for their health. I ask you to bless her and her home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yes, you can. That's good.
It's funny, before you said that, I wanted to wait until everyone was finished, and then I did want to tell. So I wasn't going to ask you for a prayer cloth. I think someone came up and asked for a prayer cloth. I have a friend that's going under surgery. I've known her for 30-plus years, and they thought maybe it was cancer. She had something wrong with her bladder, and I guess 90% of things that they remove from your bladder are cancerous. So she was kind of, you know, and that's our mindset, you know. Mm-hmm. But she was preparing for cancer, and I'm like, you know what? I wasn't going to get her a prayer cloth because I'd already prayed for her, but you had 4 extra. And that was, you know, God wanted me to have one of that for her. So I told her about it, and she said thank you. And but I haven't seen her. I haven't been able to give her the prayer cloth yet because she had surgery and things. But she was one of the 10% where she's fine. You know?
Amen.
And I don't know. I don't take it lightly. Mm-hmm. Those prayers and God Himself giving me something that He touched, which, you know, I can do that too. But.
Right.
I just love it here. I love what we get. I struggle with the Trinity, and it's just because that's how I was brought up.
Right.
And so I have them in 3 different little boxes. And just what we've been talking about with Sunday night service, and Doug helps me. But today I took a little note, and I was thinking of how I can help. God gave us the Holy Spirit, so it's Himself that's in me, helping me through
right.
life.
Amen.
You know, and Jesus came down to help me.
That's right.
Through my life.
Amen.
I'm just, you know, however I was brought up or whatever church I went to, I'm just so thankful for God ordaining every single step that I took.
Amen.
All of those people have blessed me my life. I don't know. It's just amazing. And I'm here. And
amen.
I love it.
Amen. Not too. Okay. Mm-hmm. That oil's right here. It's not far at all. Amen. One more for you. Another one? Okay. All right. Well. Amen.
Pastor Moore, can we pray for Brother John too? I don't like the
way he's down. No, we'll pray for John too. John, come on up here. Amen. So everybody put their hands in and we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're believers here this morning, and we know that the only God there is the God that said, by your stripes we're healed. And Lord, they took aprons and they cut them up with the disciples, and they handed them out because they believed the word that was preached. And Lord, as we come and bring these requests before you this morning, Trevor and different ones, and Lord John, and Lord, Satan's trying to affect his voice because he's such a strong voice here in his body. We ask you to bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, and Lord, let your word move forward in our lives, and Lord, let this be a testimony that you are real, that you are here, and that you're doing what you promised you would do in your word. Thank you for these believers. And as these cloths go out, Lord, let your faith ride out with it and bring a victory so that we can come back and tell how you've blessed and how you've answered prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 So. Mm-hmm. Sister Jennifer. God bless Brother Danny. Mother too, and Trevor. Go ahead. I'll go right ahead. We're good.
Well, I didn't. You brought up the prayer cloth, and you gave me. I was one of the people you gave me last week, and you know, I keep it in my wallet with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to necessarily say, you know, I'm dealing with my illness, but God had blessed me because I was always stressed out about money, being self-employed, doing hair and nails, and being sick. But God blessed me because he basically paid all my medical bills, and I fought Social Security for 2 years, and I won.
Amen.
So I'm blessed for that, and I just want to say that the prayer cloth worked.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Moore.
Brother Warren.
I have enough faith in the prayer cloth. I got this last year, I think. Last year. It was intended for somebody else, but for whatever reason, that person never got it. But I recognize God prayed over this.
Oh, yeah.
So I cherish this. And whenever I need it, it's right here.
You got one.
You know, the oil has long since dried up, but it's not the oil.
No.
It's the prayer. It's the word that's behind this.
Amen.
That's that. Amen. That's what I hold on to. And so I keep it right here. I was going to give it to Sister Crystal, but I go, you know what? I'm going to be a little selfish. I'm going to hold on to it, and I'll ask for one for her. But I've got this prayer cloth right here. This is my go-to. And whenever I need to just, I don't know, just depend on it, I just know it's right there. Maybe I know that the body, I know you pray. I know God spoke words over it. So it's right here.
Amen.
And I just got enough faith to believe that it can Amen. Touch me.
Have faith. Amen.
Kevin. I want to sit in the, you know, sit there and not thank God for this message today. It was beautiful. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about what Lockett said at the end of service. You got to have a revelation for this. You do. Mm-hmm. Because this is, you can't be taught this if you don't have a revelation. I don't care how smart you think you are. It don't work. If you don't believe God is in here, you are never going to get it. Mm-hmm. You're not. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, it's funny with people. They'll sit there and they'll love when God tells them everything they want to hear. But when God has a corrective and tell them to step up, oh, it ain't God. You can't turn God on like a light switch.
That's right.
Either if he's God, he's God.
That's right.
And I thank God that I can take it for the good and the bad, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love that. I really do genuinely love that because, like I said, you have to have a revelation for this. And I know when I come here, it's God every single time.
Amen.
You never miss it with this place, ever. God's in this place. If you don't see it, you ain't never going to see it. And really and truly, like I said, you're really wasting your own time if you don't think God is here. You might as well go to another church. Because you can't play with God here. This ain't the place you can play with. This ain't the place to do it at. Mm-hmm. I said it before. You can't hide from God. You cannot hide. So
that's right.
I just thank God for this place.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget to come back tonight at 7. And we'll do questions and answers. Pray for me. I'll be away this week. Man, Doug will be gone. Be back for next Sunday service. I'll miss Wednesday, but I'm sure y'all know what to do. Amen. Give up and let Jesus take over. That's what we need to do. Amen. Give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh yes, give up and let Jesus take over. Oh yes, said he, make a way. Give up. Oh, give up.